Line drive kick. Returnable for Rodgers, and he muffed it. Picked up by the Bears. To the left side, and the touchdown. Jordan Howard. Rivers throwing into the end zone. Touchdown, Antonio Gates. Alex going deep. Has a man open. It is caught. Tyreek Hill for the touchdown. 64 yards. And here is Jerick McKinnon. Practically untouched to the end zone for the touchdown. And he has yet to miss anything this year. That was blocked. The Bears have it. The Bears are going to get a touchdown out of this.
Welcome to the Fantasy Football Goon Podcast. Fantasy Football Goon is a part of the Bears Barroom Radio Network. I'm your host, Joe Mandel, the Goon, and this is your Draft Tips Preview. Joining me as always is my co-host and good buddy, John Santucci, who I call Tooch. Tooch, you ready to talk draft tips?
I'm ready to talk draft picks, man. Very excited.
And we also have some fantasy news to talk about real quick as well. Marquise Lee, the number one wide receiver for the Jacksonville Jaguars, out for the season with a terrible knee injury. Unfortunate circumstances for the Jaguars because they're a little thin now at wide receiver.
Yeah, obviously that's going to open up some opportunities for the other wide receivers on Jacksonville and their tight end. Other wide receivers include Dede Westbrook, who they're high on, a deep threat Keelan Cole, and former Colt Dante Moncrief. Tight end, of course, is now Austin Seferian Jenkins, who was on the Jets last year.
Yeah, I think Seferian Jenkins is going to get a lot of targets now, even more so. So I expect him to be a really good waiver wire pickup, or if you're still drafting, I think he's worth drafting at this point as a low-end tight end with some upside.
But yeah, I like Seferian Jenkins.
Yeah, me too, John. And you have to talk about, do we have to at least bring it up? Do you think Dez Bryant becomes an option now for Jacksonville?
I'm going to say no, but stranger things have happened.
Yep, I think we're going to find out a lot in this upcoming week before the season. But after the Marquise Lee situation, there was actually a pretty big trade today in the NFL. The Raiders traded wide receiver Ryan Switzer to the Steelers. And I know Ryan Switzer's a guy you're really high on, John.
Well, I loved all the camp tape of him when he was on the Raiders. So this is a little shifty slot receiver. Caught 96 balls for Mitch Trubisky in North Carolina. I don't know how he's probably going to be the fourth wide receiver in Pittsburgh. But, working out of the slot, he's got a good chance to do some damage. He's just kind of like one of those little shifty Wes Welker, Julian Edelman, Anthony Miller type players. But, if that's what they're looking for, is a good slot receiver, then that could be what they found. James Washington is injured, I think. He has a chest contusion or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So that leaves Juju Smith-Schuster and Antonio Brown on the outside, although they move those guys around. But, Switzer is probably going to do most of his damage in the slot.
Yeah, and he's one injury away from being extremely fantasy relevant, so you got to keep that in mind too, especially if you're in a keeper or dynasty league. Keep your eyes on Ryan Switzer. That could be an intriguing pick midway through the season. And then other breaking news yesterday, wide receiver Eric Decker announcing his retirement from football after 8 seasons. Kind of something I didn't see coming, John. I didn't expect him to retire, not at 31 years old.
Well, I kind of did, but I had him on my team last year and, waited for him to do something. He was on the Titans, I think, last year. He was a good red zone threat, just hasn't done anything, didn't do anything last year. And you'd think if he could make it on the Patriots where, they have wide receiver issues, he would, but probably couldn't get rolling in Patriots camp and, hanging him up.
Well, you know, he's hanging it up young, and he can still have his health with him, so you got to respect that, definitely, for sure. And he seems like a guy that could possibly get involved in broadcasting, really well-spoken guy. So you never know. Just wait and see with him. But obviously the biggest news in football today, Odell Beckham Jr. getting paid with a boatload of money. 5 years, $95 million, the highest paid wide receiver of all time. Will the Giants get their money's worth?
I think so at this point, yeah. As long, I mean, we haven't seen how healthy he is, but yeah, I think they will. He's a great player.
Yeah, it's a big story. He's getting money. So you just have to wait and see how he performs now that he's already getting paid. But the
if they're paying him that money, if they're paying him that amount of money, they obviously are pretty confident of his health. So, I'm excited to see him play this year. You know, we didn't get any OBJ last year.
Yeah, very minimal amounts last year, and hopefully that ankle's nice and healthy, and he's explosive and ready to go with the rest of that Giants offense. But the main reason we're here, John, is for draft tips. So this is most leagues draft this weekend or last. This is the last weekend before the season. You know, preseason's pretty much done if your starters are probably not playing, so they should have avoided injury. Most of them did, besides, you know, Marquise Lee for the most part. And Bears Barroom founder Aldo Gandia swung by earlier to give you his draft tips. Check them out now.
I want to tell you that the Goon, the Tooch, and myself, we held one of our drafts over at Soldier Field. The Chicago Tribune, along with the Chicago Bears and Soldier Field, they hosted a draft party, and it was such a blast. And so my advice to all of you is make sure you hold your draft in a special environment. Obviously, it's too late to do it at Soldier Field. Look for that next year. But this year, if you can, if you're drafting this weekend, make sure you're holding it at a bar or at someone's house, and you're bringing in dancing girls or dancing bears or something. Make sure it's special. Make sure it's memorable. Go out of your way and do something cool, because this is the biggest, best part of your fantasy football season. It's getting together with your buddies, getting together with the guys that you're playing against, making new friends. Make it memorable. You won't regret it. Okay, here come my tips, and I'm going to do them countdown style. My top five tips to holding a successful draft.
Five. Do your research.
That's right, Coach Vic Fangio. You must do your research, because if you do, some of the things you will learn are...
Four.
Offenses are trying to get the running backs the ball more often.
Three.
They are getting more touches, and that is fantasy gold. Touches. Obviously, the more a running back touches the ball, the more opportunity he gets to gather yards and touchdowns. Last year, Le'Veon Bell led the league with 27 touches a game, an average of 27 touches a game. Ezekiel Elliott was second with 26.8. Leonard Fournette, 23.4. Todd Gurley, 22.9. Those are your studs. When draft Dr. Phil took Jordan Howard with the first overall pick in our Bears Barroom draft, he made a huge mistake. The doc didn't realize that as good as he believes Jordan Howard is, he gets 9 fewer touches a game than Bell and Elliott. How can you be better than those guys if you're not getting the ball as often? You need to touch the ball often for a chance to get high-powered fantasy points. And that leads me to my next tip. You need wide receivers who are being targeted the ball. That's why DeAndre Hopkins and Antonio Brown are legit mid to late first round draft picks. Go over to fantasypros.com and you will find a list there of who was targeted the most in 2017. It's not likely to change too much for 2018. Get yourself a receiver who is getting passes. And now it is time for... Fantasy football, like most games, is about matchups. So you need to know which teams have the best and worst schedules for fantasy football players. Wouldn't you rather avoid a wide receiver whose schedule pits him up against excellent pass defenses for most of the year, rather than one who is facing burnt toast for most of the year? Of course you would. If you
do your research,
you will know that based on projections, the Jacksonville Jaguars have the easiest easiest schedule for fantasy football players. That makes guys like Leonard Fournette a mucho gusto running back. The Jags are followed by the New England Patriots and the Houston Texans. Do you want to know which teams face the worst defenses?
Do your research.
That's right, do your research. My name is Aldo Gandia of BearsBarroom.com. Adios.
Thanks again to Aldo for swinging by with those awesome draft tips. So here we are upon draft weekend. What's your strategy, John, for getting things going? Because, you know, the first round of a draft is a very delicate thing. And we invited a few other guys from our Goon League into this episode to chat with us. We got Maverick from Michigan, and same thing with Captain Pat, both from Michigan, coming and joining us on the line. Maverick picked 10th and Captain Pat picked 4th. Tooch picked 9th and I picked 6th overall. So, gentlemen, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
The first round was kind of uneventful for the most part, but, you know, at first overall, it went Todd Gurley, which is not really much of a surprise, followed by Le'Veon Bell. And then it gets a little slippery after that, you know, Ezekiel Elliott. And then at number 4, I believe it went Antonio Brown. Right, Captain Pat?
That's for sure.
What was your mindset in taking Antonio Brown there?
PPR league, looking for those high points. Antonio Brown can light it up during the season.
No doubt about that. And moving on after that, I ended up getting at 6th overall Saquon Barkley. I was feeling pretty good about that. You know, I obviously am high on him going into the season. I like what I'm going to see. And then I was able to wrap around the next round and get Fournette as well. So I was feeling pretty good with my 1-2 punch. Tooch, what did you get at 9th overall?
Well, yeah, my tip would be I did a bunch of iterations mock drafts, which I'm sure everyone else did as well. So you get when you do the mock drafts, you get to see like where these players are going. Then you see like who's there when your turn comes up each time, 15 rounds. You know, and I was in a spot where I make a pick. And I'm making a pick almost, you know, pretty shortly right after that. But I noticed when I was doing the mock drafts that running backs, you know, the stud running backs are getting taken right away. So I made it my strategy to grab 2 running backs and get those 2 slots filled. So I took Melvin Gordon first off. And then when it came back on my second turn, I had a choice between Kareem Hunt or Leonard Fournette. I'm high on the Chiefs offense. I love Leonard Fournette, too. I would have been happy with either guy, but I took Kareem Hunt just because I like the Chiefs offense rolling. I picked 2 more Chiefs players later on in the draft, so that was my strategy, was to grab running backs quick and then come around and try and get some PPR wide receivers in the next few rounds.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough when you're picking that late in the draft because you do get some good players, but then you get the quick 1-2 punch and you're done for a while. And the same goes for Maverick here, who picked 10th. What was your mindset, Maverick, when you were picking 10th, and what were you thinking when you had 2 picks in a row?
Well, this was definitely a different position for me this time around, as this is the first time I've ever had to pick, you know, 10th in a snake draft. Usually I'm right in the middle of the draft. So when you're in the middle of the draft, okay, it's usually just a standard pick, you know, all right, 1 pick here, 1 pick there. But going back to back and then not picking again for essentially, you know, 2 straight rounds again, that really changed things up for me. And obviously seeing where a lot of the stud running backs were going off early and having, you know, basically your pick of the top, you know, 2 out of the 3 or even top 2 out of 4 receivers, I rolled the dice and went with Beckham Jr. And then with my first pick in the 10th round, then again, piggybacking right onto that, I went to Julio Jones for PPR, both, you know, target hogs in their respective offenses. Good big play players, and so I went with the big play wide receivers first, knowing that the stud running backs were already gone at the first 9 picks.
Yeah, I mean, it is a PPR league at the end of the day, and those guys are absolute monsters. So, I mean, I have no problem with that. You're set at wide receiver for the year, pretty much, because I mean, we do have that 3rd spot for a flex, but you can play a tight end or a running back there. So, right. The world's your oyster, essentially.
I like to go back. Who was the 5th pick overall in our draft?
The Gronk.
Yeah, Gronk kind of made a splash appearance there at number 5, and it kind of threw everything off a little bit.
I don't know. I think he's going to have a great season. He's going to light it up, man. He's going to be probably Tom Brady's only target this year.
Well, at least until Edelman comes back.
For the first four games, anyway.
Yeah, exactly. And that kind of leads perfectly into my draft tip, and that's if you get to the third round and you have any of the top three tight ends available, and those tight ends are Zach Ertz, Gronkowski, or Travis Kelce, if you get to the third round and they're there, you got to take those guys because the fall off in tight ends is so big. I think if you can get one of those guys in the third round, it's an absolute steal. I did that and I got Zach Ertz.
Well, I like Ertz. I like that pick, man.
I was seriously hoping that you were going to be able to pass on him, and because I wasn't picking again until the last pick of the third round. So again, that kind of goes back to my whole mindset of I have two whole rounds where I had the first pick in the second round and the last pick in the third. So I was hoping that one of those guys would fall to me at that last pick of the third, and none of them were there available.
Yeah, those guys were gone quick, and you know, after that, you know, relatively quickly after that too, Evan Engram and Trey Burton, the next two guys in line, went relatively quick. I think they were both off the board by the end of the sixth round. So tight end is a very important spot. I mean, there's a lot of guys you can play to kind of try to get a tight end later, and that's Jordan Reed, but you know, he's got so much injury history on his side that like you can't trust him as your main guy.
What you can do is grab Vernon Davis though.
Yeah, he's a good backup. And he's probably gonna play more games.
I love the Ertz pick because talking about wide receivers that are banged up, you know, that whole wide receiver core is pretty much banged up. Mike Wallace is the only healthy veteran really. They're using the kid second-year wide receiver Shelton Gibson a lot right now. Aguilar's just coming back. Jeffrey's on the PUP list.
Carson Wentz isn't even cleared to play.
Yeah, Carson Wentz is not cleared to play. Mac Hollins is banged up too. So I think you're going to see a lot of Jay Ajayi and Zach Ertz, you know, to start the season, and probably Nick Foles maybe to start the season.
Yeah, and Nick Foles had probably the worst preseason game I've ever seen in my life the other day. So,
How about that Cleveland defense, though? Greg Williams' defense corner. I talked about that recently. That's a defense to keep an eye on.
Agreed.
Yeah, they're looking mighty fine so far, and that offense is looking pretty good, too. So I don't think you can sleep on the Browns. There's some fantasy-relevant guys on the Browns, too. I mean, obviously, Jarvis Landry's primed for a nice year, and, you know, whichever running back ends up getting the lion's share, I think regardless, Duke Johnson probably has a real good year catching the ball out of the backfield too.
Yeah, there's some good fantasy plays on Cleveland this year, which is nice for a change.
And that's why I took a flyer on Nick Chubb in the 10th round. You know, with injuries at running back all the time, I figured why not see what he can do later in the year. That was my thought process on him.
Well, he's going to get an opportunity at some point, so you just got to see what he can do with that opportunity. I mean, the kid's a stud. You just got to see how they utilize him in that offense.
As a second-round draft pick, you know, I don't think he's going to be sitting on the bench too much without giving an opportunity.
Right. Same with guys like Ronald Jones, who I grabbed late, too. He could, you know, these are guys you're sitting on when you have two bell cows. So I ended up picking up Lamar Jackson, who I could, you know, just sub in. You know, when Hunt and Gordon are on bye week. So, good fill-in. And then, you know, I was struggling kind of to find wide receivers after taking two running backs, you know. But, you know, that's how it is, really. I mean, there were still some that dropped. But the thing that I was keeping an eye on when you got around to, you know, round 7, 8, 9, I was waiting for those defenses to start coming off. I was ready in the 8th round to pull the trigger on them. I'm not sure. I think this draft that we had, they started going in the 9th round, if I remember, but I'm not sure, Joe.
I think Jacksonville went in the 7th round, and then the rest of them
started going in the 8th round.
Yeah, and then
Captain Pat picked the Jax in the 8th round.
Okay. So I was watching them. Once they started coming off, I started to make my move for a defense just because, you know, after you miss out on the 4 or 5 top defenses, you know, you might as well just wait until the, you know, 11th, 12th, 13th round, and you could still get the same, you know, defenses.
As soon as I had my lineup, other than kicker and defense, I was going after my defense because they're probably going to you know, provide some type of balance in your offense or your point totals. So I just said, just get them out of the way.
Well, I mean, having the Jacksonville defense is like having a pretty darn good number two receiver. So they put up that much, that many points, as long as everyone stays healthy. But I mean, right now, I don't have a problem with it, especially if your lineup's full already.
Yep, that was the goal.
So Captain Pat, what did you learn most about going through the couple drafts you did? I know you did an auction draft earlier this year. What's your kind of number one takeaway when it comes to, you know, after going through a few drafts, like, what do you wish you know, wish you knew, or what do you wish you could change? I know it's a huge question, but what did you kind of learn after drafting a couple times already?
Well, it's a totally different monster when you go into auction draft. You spend too much money in one spot, then you're kind of looking, all right, now where do I got to go to find balance in my lineup? I had a mishap with getting a receiver and a quarterback by just my fault. So that kind of screwed me up in the long run. But coming in a draft like ours this past weekend, never big on the running backs. I was always big on the wide receivers, three wide receivers on my team, and then especially in a PPR league. But come to find out, man, those running backs, very essential for a great fantasy team. And I think that was a number one takeaway I had this past year.
Yeah, I mean, backs are a rare resource, especially bell cow guys. And once they're gone, it's a really, really steep fall off. And there's a whole lot of nothing out there. I mean, there's a couple guys going to catch some balls, but, you know, you're kind of rolling the dice in that respect. And then Tooch, picking at ninth overall, what was the kind of thing that you learned the most? I know you did a bunch of mock drafts, but what did you learn from picking ninth?
Yeah, again, I learned from doing the mock draft, which guys are going to be around. I think the best advice I could give would be that when you're getting, you know, round by round, of course, my rounds, like Hawks, were bunched together. So my first and second rounds were bunched together. You know, then my third and fourth were bunched together, my fourth and fifth. So he and I both got, you know, two guys, basically, for every – we basically picked 7.5 times, or, you know, 8 times, really. But basically picked 7.5 times. So we would take, you know, a guy, and then he would take two guys. I got another guy right after that. So I had to know, first and second, who am I taking, then in the third and fourth, guys are going to be around there. And I had a target of a few, you know, wide receivers, running backs, tight ends, you know. And I usually wait to take a quarterback. I think you have that's one of my strategies. I like to take quarterbacks a little bit later. You know, there's guys you can get like Rivers, Stafford, and Roethlisberger who are going to perform well and not cost you a super high draft pick.
Yep.
And then you can kind of, yeah, you can kind of sit back and wait for guys like Jared Goff, or, you know, I took Patrick Mahomes just because I think I'm high on the Chiefs' offense. Their defense is garbage, but might light it up offensively. But, you have to know. So third and fourth, I'm looking for a wide receiver, you know, who's going to get a lot of targets. I'm looking for a tight end who's going to get a lot of targets. So, or I'm looking for a fill-in running back. My two studs are, you know, I think that's kind of how I did it. And then, you know, my fifth and sixth rounds, mm-hmm. I'm looking for just to fill in there. But I kind of waited on wide receivers because, you know, there's guys that are decent. You can get, I ended up getting, you can get guys like Emmanuel Sanders and Marquise Goodwin, Cooper Kupp late. And those guys are going to get you some targets. And and targeted Trey Burton once the tight end started to fall off the board, because I think he'll be heavily targeted.
Oh, for sure.
And then after that, you know, when you get to the, you know, eighth round, you're looking defense, and 9th through 15th, you're basically plugging holes and looking for home runs.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of guys like that, and I agree with you, John, about the getting a quarterback late. There's a lot of great options. I was waiting on Philip Rivers, and he was about to make it back to me, and then you ripped him right out of my arms, and I ended up with Ben Roethlisberger, which is fine. But every year, you and I fight over Philip Rivers, and you usually somehow win his love.
I would have been happy with either guy. Really, they're almost the same guy. You know, both have great weapons, you know, and then you can even throw Matthew Stafford in that kind of group area of guys who are going to be around 4,000 yards and, you know, 25 to 30 touchdowns and low, you know, interceptions. But, yeah, those guys I would have, you know, been happy with any one of those three guys.
Yeah, and I think another tip to kind of go along with that, John, is at least for me, I don't know about you guys, but sometimes I like to target suspended players that are good that people forget about because, like, you know, people kind of put voodoo on them because they're going to miss, I don't know, you know, two or four games or whatever. But in Julian Edelman's case, when he comes back, I mean, this kid is a PPR machine that everyone seems to forget about. So when Julian Edelman comes back, you know, he's probably a top 20 receiver, and he's getting drafted in you know, the 10th, 11th round. So if you can target guys like him or Aaron Jones for the Packers, who's a really fantastic running back, Robbie Anderson for the Jets, who's not suspended yet, but he probably will end up being suspended. These are all guys that you can get value out of very late.
I'm glad you brought that up there, Goon. Is he going to be on the trading block soon?
For the Jets or for fantasy?
I'm talking about Julian Edelman.
Oh. Oh, you mean you want me to trade him too? Is that what you mean?
Yes, sir.
I guess that's why they call you Captain Pat.
That's right. I got to get those Pats players on my team as soon as possible.
I told you this on Saturday. He's my ace in the hole, so he's not for trade yet.
You gotta love the bargain where he was, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's part of the reason
you were able to pick him up in a round. I mean, that's a pretty darn good spot for him.
What round did I pick him up?
Six.
Yeah, I mean, I took him a little earlier than he's been going, just because I wanted to have a good receiver on my bench, especially for when he comes back, because he's probably not going to be a bench player when he comes back. He'll either be my flex or wide receiver too. But yeah, I mean, I took him because I wanted him. He's a guy I wanted to get, and I went out and I got him. So just don't forget about suspended players. I mean, they're really important.
Yeah, one thing Joe did, I picked a kicker in the second to last round this time, so I could get like a kicker that was one notch ahead, you mm-hmm. know? Usually, and 16th or 15th was a 15th round, the last round. Last round, I just took a flyer on a guy. Like last year, I did my flyer guy was Evan Engram last year, so I took last pick.
Well, that worked out for you.
That worked out pretty well. Now, this year, my last pick was Mark Andrews of Baltimore. You know, if he pans out, I'm looking at him, you know, maybe, you know, being a good backup for Trey Burton or maybe trading him for a young running back. But, you know, hopefully that pans out. I've had good luck picking at the last round.
Well, I mean, Hayden Hurst is injured. He just had surgery, and it's going to be Mark Andrews for a while, so I think he's going to get opportunity. He is the leading receiver all time at Oklahoma, so interested to see how that plays out for you, bud. But yeah, I mean, I got Matt Prater in the last round, so I'm more than happy with getting a dome kicker. Another thing that, you know, it's a good pointer is if you are going to pick a kicker, it never hurts to get one that doesn't have to fight the elements all that much.
Especially when your kicker is 55 years old like Bryant.
His leg might fall off soon.
I agree.
We always waiting for his leg to go farther than the ball.
All of his hair is gone already, so his legs are next.
Legs and hair, that's all you need. Maverick and Captain Pat, thank you guys again for joining us to talk about draft strategy and what you learned. It was great hearing what you guys had to say, and we look forward again to having you guys on later again this season.
Definitely looking forward to it. Biggest thing, be flexible.
Anytime, guys.
Have a great night.
Thanks again.
Yeah, thanks, guys. And for everybody listening, good luck in your drafts. Good luck this season. And for Fantasy Football Goon, I'm Joe Mandel, signing off. God bless America. God bless football. And let's kick some ass.